Welcome. I'm so glad you're here today with Mickey Kasten and me. My name is Mary McKenzie. I'm with the NBC Academy. So I want to start with just a quick question. Do you consider yourself a responsible person? We're well over 50% and it's growing and growing. Yeah, I think most of us consider ourselves responsible. I think some of us also give ourselves a hard time if we're not as responsible as we think we should be. But I do think that often we think we're responsible. Yet also when it comes to relationships, many of us only take responsibility for 50% of it, or maybe not even that in some cases. And I've actually found that when I do that, that is only take responsibility for 50% of my relationship, and the other person only takes 50% of their responsibility, the total never seems to quite add up to 100%. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, sometimes we don't even get close to 100% under those circumstances. We even become kind of small-minded in calculating what we're supposed to do. We tend to live in an either-or mindset, and we often harbor blame or resentment, and even sometimes feel some helplessness when things just don't work out the way we'd hoped they would. Mickey and I both believe that something else is entirely possible, a relationship that's based on what truly works for me and for you. A relationship even in which you take 100% responsibility for ensuring that your needs and the needs of the other person are well attended to. So you jump in 100%. In fact, we think that we can create exemplary relationships that actually end up inspiring the other person to join us in this taking 100% responsibility party we're in. And everything can be different if we just embrace this perspective. And in case you're worried about it, just know that it's not about giving up on ourselves in any way, actually. It's about making sure that both of us in the relationship are included, that both of us are included, so that nobody feels like they have to lose or nobody thinks they have to lose in any way. And so the good news is that's the focus of today's call with Mickey Kasten. She'll also spend some time talking about her program, Leadership as a Way of Life, of which this course, Taking 100% Responsibility for Every Relationship, is the second course in this series. And what we're hoping you'll walk away with are three primary things. Simple tools for stepping out of blame and into your own power. Greater understanding about how this shift empowers you, the people in your life and your relationships. And inspiration for once and for all focusing on how to make a relationship work instead of analyzing what's wrong with it. You're in for a treat, and I hope you enjoy it. So sit back and relax, and I will turn the call over to Mickey Kasten. Mickey, welcome.
Hi, Mary. Thank you. I was actually thinking, you know, that the idea of taking 100% responsibility for every relationship is something that would be daunting for people. And yet I see that it somehow speaks to something people want to learn about. I'm guessing that we are kind of tired of the position of having relationships happen to us instead of shaping them. And I would really love to hear from a few people who could say a brief thing of why they're on the call, and especially people who have a situation that they would like to work with, a relationship. And it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. Apparently, some people thought this is only romantic relationships. It's any relationship. If you have a relationship that you would like to really take responsibility for and transform into something that works for everyone, I would love to hear why you're here and if you have any piece that you want to work on.
Hi, Mickey and everyone else. I have a relationship that has been quite troubling for probably 30 years. It's with my daughter, and she has a mild form of mental illness along with lots and lots of physical illnesses. And I have for years tried to take responsibility for the relationship, and I'm exhausted. So obviously I'm doing it wrong because it's just not working. And I'm in my 70s. She's 35. I still work almost full time. And I just can't keep up with the responsibilities of her life and my life.
Got it. Thank you. I am going to mute you again. And then here, there is one other person. Yes. Hi.
Hi. It's about my sister.
We lived together for about two times in 1 year separate in between. And every time it's ending up me needing space. And I'm trying to reconnect with her, but there is some kind of a wall in between.
So you found at a certain point that the only way that you knew to look after your needs was to create space and distance between you. And now you're hoping to reconnect. And you're not sure how to do it.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you. And there's another Anne.
I have a brother, and his wife and my partner have been at odds. And I called my brother and told him not to come visit. But I'd like to be able to be more comfortable around that. So that's something I really want to be responsible for.
Thank you. So it's the relationship with your brother that you want to be take responsibility for, or the relationship with his wife? It's not clear to me suddenly. Which relationship are you looking at?
Both of them.
We will pick one. If I work with you, we will pick one. I just wanted to see. Somehow, hearing from different people like this, I'm not finding a way to attend to my own need for meaning, and I'm not confident that it is helping anyone else. And in this moment, I'm a bit at a loss. So I think I'm going to rely on the strategy of calling on people that I have worked with in the past, where I have some sense of reliability. Would you tell me what's on your mind to work on?
Hi, Mickey. The relationship that I would like to work on is with my 23-year-old son. And I simply said, no matter what I try, I don't know how to do this. I want to hold, and I think I hold responsibility for the relationship. And at the same time, I'm finding myself that I don't want to, quote, take away from his responsibility. I also want to empower him. And I find myself at a loss as to how to fully hold responsibility for the relationship and also allow him to be responsible in his own way.
I understand. I love the challenge, and I think it will be probably easiest if I just continue to work with you. There are many other people who wanted to speak and are likely to be disappointed. For now, I think I'll stick with you because the challenge you're bringing is a very rich one for me. So I'd like to look at this. So I first of all want to say just one bit about what I mean by taking 100% responsibility for the relationship, because many times people misunderstand that in one of two ways. One way is to mean, and I'm not hearing this in what you're saying, I'm just speaking in general. I'm hearing it, and sometimes people say it, and what I hear is they're basically thinking that they're supposed to give up on their own needs. That taking responsibility for their relationship somehow means my needs no longer matter, which absolutely is not what I have in mind. What I have in mind is putting all the care and attention and courage and truth necessary to have both needs on the table. So that's one thing. The other thing is maybe present in what you're saying, which is somehow taking responsibility for the other person. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that being a challenge when it's a son. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to hear from you. What exactly do you mean when you say you want to empower him?
So, for example, he just recently had a fender bender, an accident. He wasn't hurt, and I didn't know about it until I saw his car. And then when I saw it and I expressed my concern about it, he was telling me how he was dealing with it. We have a financial agreement where I support him financially. And the concern is, how did he see this as addressing this problem?
You said that you have a financial agreement of you supporting him. And I didn't understand the link between this and your question of how he saw it working. Please help me.
It seems kind of simple when I think about it, but it's like wanting him to come up with some ideas rather than me giving him ideas about how to approach, deal with this particular situation and others that are similar.
So I want to be him. I'd like you to speak to me as you spoke to him, because I'm still not understanding something.
I'm just wondering how, you know, did you contact the insurance company? And the response is no.
No.
So what are your thoughts about dealing with this? What are your plans around this?
So I can see now what the issue is, because how I'm feeling when you're asking me this question, it's not a pleasant feeling. And do you know why? Why it's not pleasant?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not guessing at what might be going on to him. I'm not making a request, really. It's all kind of floating out in the air. And
I can be much more specific. Here's what it is. You are neither leaving me alone to lead my life, nor are you telling me what you want from me. You are asking me questions without telling me where the question is coming from. So there's this blurriness about, is it about you or is it about me? And in that, there is ickiness for me.
And there's ickiness in me too, so yeah.
So here's the deal. You are not actually trying to empower him. You are trying to get him to act like an adult, whatever you mean by that, to get him to do the other thing called taking responsibility. You want him to see the effect of his actions. You want him to face up to the consequences of what happened, but you're not saying any of it. You're making it sound like it's an open question that is coming from curiosity. I would dig my heels in the ground if you asked me this, if I were him.
And he did.
What I want here is, you get it all, right?
Yeah, I get it.
So here is what's necessary to shift this, is for you to step into full vulnerability about your experience and what you want.
Okay, so pause just a second there, because when I do that with him, he gets really upset. It's just like, Mom, I don't want to hear this.
Okay, tell me and I'll tell you, you know, maybe I'll be able to tell you why again.
Okay. I'm concerned about when I see that there's been this accident, I'm concerned about the impact that it has on your driving record because you already had another accident.
I'm sorry, my dear, you're talking about me and not about you.
Help me, Mickey, how do I do it?
So here is what happens, and this is why I thought this would be such a lovely example. You are not separating out your needs and my needs. It's all blurry, and because it's blurry, you are essentially asking me to take care of you in some way.
Yes, because I don't want to pay the bill.
Start from there. That's the truth. That's where you start from, is what is true about you.
Seems so uncaring because it's about money. It's like, it's just money. Why don't I just pay it? And it's just like, I'm tired of paying it.
So I don't know how else to say it. The truth comes first. And if you are conflicted, you tell him you're conflicted. Just don't put it on me to fix you from your conflict. So in order to take 100% responsibility, it requires you to take responsibility for yourself first, to put yourself on the table with clarity. Then in addition and alongside this, to have some understanding of what my needs are and what are the conditions that would help me meet my needs as I understand them, not the needs you would like for me to have. You see?
Yeah, I do. And I'm getting responsibility for me first, putting myself out there, and then guessing at what genuinely might be his needs rather than the needs that I would want him to have. Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah.
All right.
So the question now is, how are you going to do that? Do you want to try again?
Yeah, so because I'm feeling a little, overwhelmed right now, I'd like to just take it down to very basic OFNR just to help me.
Sure. If you're going to do that with him, why don't you do that part also within the dialogue? Get my permission as your son to speak weird.
Yeah.
I think there may be a question. If you have a question that will help you understand, I'll take that. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. You made the statement when asking a question or presenting one's case, you said step into my experience and my expectations of the relationship or of the situation that's before I and that other person.
What's important for me is it doesn't even matter whether it's the relationship or the situation. It will vary by the situation, which part. I just want to be grounded in me with complete clarity about what I want and why, and a willingness to express it in a way that will leave as much room as possible for the other person to hold on to what they want. Is that clarifying for you?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Uh-huh. I think there is one other question.
I would really like you to continue with this understanding of the other person's needs, because what if the other person doesn't want to go there? What if the other person isn't in touch with their needs? They don't want to talk about it?
Yeah. So there are many permutations, and we're only doing one example here. This is why we have a whole course afterwards. In this moment, we'll see step by step. The point is not necessarily to talk about their needs. I will just say this. I want to act in a way that, to whatever extent I understand the other person's needs, I am making room for them. Whether they're spoken or not is of secondary importance, if that makes any sense.
Wow, that's really interesting. Okay, well, I'm hoping you can continue with that with the woman you're working with now. You brought it up, but it's hanging in her relationship with her son.
Hopefully we'll get there.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'll go back to Arati and then take other questions.
Yeah, I'm ready. And actually, this pause was helpful for me. If I had a redo, this is how, at least kind of how I would like to be able to do it, which would be, cool, I just saw your car in the driveway, and I noticed that it has a dent with some red paint on it, and I'm guessing that you were in an accident.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the first thing that I'm aware of right now is that I have some concerns about the financial impact that this might have on me. I'm actually kind of scared about that. And I'd really like to have some kind of clarity or understanding. And I'm just wondering what comes up for you when you hear me say this, or when I'm asking you this, what comes up for you? Could you tell me?
So I'm not going to respond. I'm going to give you feedback to tell you that I am not getting from you, how to say this? Okay, so look at it this way. I'm not a happy camper right now. Before you even opened your mouth, I'm not a happy camper. In what you're saying, I'm not hearing anything that indicates that you get it. In fact, I would venture to say, even without knowing anything about the situation, that I am probably not a happy camper about being 100% supported by you. So anything that you say right now to me, anything is going to be touchy. I think, I'm not positive, but I think that if you acknowledge that, you will gain some points. That's one thing. The other thing is that I'm not hearing you kind of like solidly landing anywhere. Why are you scared about the finances? Come on, Mom, it's not a big deal. Why are you scared? That kind of thing. There is something going on for you that is unresolved. I'm pretty confident about this. That is not being articulated. So even with all of this at the end of it, what comes up for you about this, I'm still feeling the same ickiness. I have a sense that there is, I don't even know what it is, but I'm seeing that it's a challenging moment for you. To find a way to build a relationship with me that includes me, yeah. That includes fully with whatever my difficulties and challenges are, and yet where you don't ever give up on yourself. I'm trying to imagine what might work, and I'm going to now ask you to be your son and tell me. I don't actually know what will work, but if you can inhabit him for a moment, tell me how you like my current attempt. So I'm walking in the door, and I'm saying, hi, son. I saw the car, and I imagine
yeah,
you're
hang
not...
Yeah, hang on a second. Hang on a second, Mom. I'm brushing my teeth. Let me finish brushing my teeth.
Okay, I'll wait.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
Seeing the car, I imagine you're not particularly a happy camper right now. Is that true?
Yeah. And I'm dealing with it. I'm talking to the guy, and yeah, I'm dealing with it.
So I'm glad to hear that, you know, you have some sense of how you want to handle this. And I imagine that it would be really uncomfortable for you to talk with me about this right now, given, you know, everything about our financial relationship and knowing that this is an extra financial burden. And I still would really like to tell you how this is affecting me. Are you open to hearing it now? And if not, when?
No, I'm busy. I got to get going, Mark. I've got stuff going on, and I'll call you later in the week.
Okay, hang on a second. Rather than responding to me, I'd like to know how it is for you. I want your feedback, no response.
Yeah, okay. It was kind of a relief in a way.
What was the relief?
Like not being on the spot of being able to step away from it.
Uh-huh.
Not having the conversation.
So I'm confused about the not having the conversation. I'm just asking about the effect of my words on you. The actual words that I used, how did they affect you?
I felt more relaxed. I didn't experience that I had to do something.
Thank you. So I can tell you that inside of me, I felt tenderness for you and a firm sense I didn't want that tenderness to carry me into not caring about myself. So I was very clearly holding me and holding you. That's what was missing for me in all the attempts that you had. Wondering if this is enough for you.
And I just want to say that the opening for me was when you first said, I imagine that, I can't remember exactly what you said, but those first words that you said.
I imagine you're not a happy camper.
That you're not a happy camper. That's it. And it was just like, oh, like I was seen.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, so and I was seen and I existed and I was a part of this conversation.
Yes. And that's what I mean by taking responsibility for the relationship, because it's very clear that he doesn't know how to speak for his needs. And therefore, it's not about empathy, quote unquote. It's about you looking after both your needs and his. That's the essential piece. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mickey.
And I think that I still have a little bit of time to take more questions. So I will try to answer all the questions. You have a question?
Hi. Yes, I do. So in following up to that, leaving it open and saying, you know, we can table this and talk about it. When do you want to talk about it? And if the response had come back, well, let's talk about it later in 2 days or 3 days or 5 days, where an agreement is met to discuss it and the other party doesn't meet the agreement. How far does one reorganize or try to regroup or meet them?
Only as far as it's true for you. So
okay.
If initially I have only 5 hours in me, then I say, are you able to have this conversation now or do you want to have it later? What I recognize in me is the longest I'm willing to wait is 5 hours. When is the most convenient time for you within the next 5 hours? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, and if they don't come back or they choose not to...
It's a new dialogue at that point.
Okay.
Uh-huh, thank you. All right. Did you have a question?
I think there's somebody else asked that question, and that is the other person is not even willing to talk, or if you attempt, then it becomes a much more of a blame. How do you even start?
First of all, I want to say that a person who is not willing to talk is the most challenging situation to be in conversation with. What does it then mean to take responsibility for the relationship? It means watching very closely where my willingness is and where my openness to the other person is. I cannot have a conversation with someone who is not willing to have it. That's clear. And I think that as clear as it is, we pretend like it's not true. We try to put pressure on the person, to threaten, to cry, to manipulate, to do all kinds of things to get them to talk with us, all of which make it worse. We can, however, be clear and honest about where we are or what we are willing to do or not, including the possibility of ending a relationship. And this topic is much bigger than I can handle in this moment, because the question of how to handle somebody who is not willing to talk is very difficult. The only final clue I want to give you is if somebody is not willing to talk, it means to me that they are in so much pain or fear or mistrust that they don't believe that speaking with me has any hope of attending to their needs. I want to remember that, whatever my choices are. Is that making sense?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that there is so much pain that it's really hard talking, but that was my curiosity whether I can go anywhere at all with this.
Okay, thanks. All right, let's see, who else?
In this situation, I have a hard time imagining that the son is going to want to listen to how his mother feels because, I mean, she says she wants, he says, well, some other time, and kind of blows her off. I know that's my interpretation, but eventually the bill is going to come.
Here's my sense of it. This is a situation that's been going on, I think, in a murky way for some time. It will take some gradual step-by-step trust building to transform the terms. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. If I am Arati, I will make efforts to get my son to understand the effect that his actions have on me, because I believe that feedback is the most powerful way to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be persistent and caring.
If my need is support from my son, in this case, if my need is support and responsibility,
then I will keep putting it on the table, but I have a prior need that is much bigger than this one, which is the one that I prioritize in all these interactions, and that is to make the relationship work in the long run. That's what feeds my willingness to keep showing up in this conversation. Got it?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Uh-huh. Okay, Mary, I think we're turning to you, and let's see if we end up having more space for questions afterwards.
I really enjoyed this call, Mickey. You know, what's running through my head is just how challenging it is sometimes when we're in relationship with other people to clarify what's mine and what's the other person's responsibility, and how can I step up, as you said, 100%, even though sometimes it's really murky. And it's even kind of hard to talk about because it can be so murky. I really just wanted to acknowledge that with all the people who had comments today, how challenging that is and how excited I am that you're offering a course on this, actually. So I'd like to just ask a few questions to get more clarity. It seems to me, actually, that there are several habits that can get in the way of harmonious relationships. And you've mentioned a few already. I wonder if you'd mention a few others.
Yeah, there's a habit of pleasing that people do, of, you know, trying to please or appease or be overly kind. That's one. There is a habit of doing things that we're not willing to do and building up resentment. There's a habit of not asking for what we want. Are these enough examples?
Wow, absolutely. I mean, I bet there's not a person on the call who can't relate to those three in themselves or in their partner or the people that they're in relationship with. So there are probably a lot of people, I would imagine, on the call who don't see themselves as leaders, or maybe even some who don't want to be a leader or think they don't. So why do you think it's so important to see ourselves as leaders? And will your course support the people in developing their willingness to be a leader if they don't readily come to that?
I think that leadership is super attractive. Obviously, I'm biased. I think that we are so habituated to seeing ourselves as victims, you know, like somebody else has to change or somebody else has to do something to take care of things. I am not able to. This situation is impossible. I can't. Any kinds of these kinds of thoughts, they don't actually create satisfaction. I can only say for myself, it's not like I'm willing to be a leader. It's that when I began to make this shift, to take on the commitment of 100% responsibility for every relationship that I'm in, it's not like that necessarily means every relationship instantly becomes a wonderful, harmonious, lovely thing. What it does mean is that I have complete peace of mind about who I am. It means I live with integrity. It means I feel empowered and at choice. And it means that I have more hope that whatever I want to see happen can happen. Now you tell me, Mary, does that sound attractive?
It does, unless I'm scared to step up to the plate. But what I hear you say is that it sounds like people stepping into their power.
Yes.
That would be another way of saying it. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we are scared because from early on, we have been told not to be who we are, not to want what we want, not to take up too much space, all of these things. So being in the position of a small, insignificant person has its own comfort, but it doesn't actually satisfy us. That's what I'm hoping will give people the willingness to choose it even when they're scared.
Boy, this sounds like freedom to me, Mickey. It sounds rather bold to me, taking 100% responsibility for every relationship. Do you think it's possible? I mean, really?
I think that it's possible as an attitude. It isn't necessarily possible as a guarantee. Is that making sense, the difference, or do you want me to elaborate?
Mm-hmm. No, it makes sense to me. What I hear in that is that I can have an attitude about it, as you say, but I might not actually show up that way every single time.
That is one part of what I mean. And the other part is, even if I show up in this way, it does not guarantee that I will have the results that I want. I think we are so addicted to predictability, which doesn't actually exist, that we forget that even if we do everything exactly so, we forget that it doesn't necessarily mean that everything will turn out the way we want.
Yeah, and so then I think sometimes we become willing to accept the status quo that we're not happy in because we're afraid to live in the possibility of getting what we want. That's a sad and lonely place.
Yeah. You know, there's a quote from Rachel Naomi Remen. She says something like, the antidote to slavery is not freedom. It's the unknown. We have to be willing to step into the unknown to actually get into a place of freedom. And we want to still control the outcome.
This class sounds very empowering to me. And so I just want to ask this other question because I think it comes up a lot. It kind of came up today, not exactly, but around the comments today about what if the other person doesn't want to be in relationship with us? What if they don't want to be in conversation? What if they don't care about our needs? And so another way of saying that is, what if we're in relationship with someone who's abusive or someone who we think of as abusive? How would that square with your invitation to take 100% responsibility?
It means that I know that at the soul level, that person is doing something that is also harming themselves. So for both of our benefits, I want to remove myself.
I love that. So, Mickey, this course, Taking 100% Responsibility for Every Relationship, is the second course in your series, Leadership as a Way of Life. And it's a standalone course. People can take just this course if they want to. But I wonder also if you talk a little bit about the four-part series, because the first part is still available to people to receive as a recording if they want to, and the other two courses have not taken place yet. So would you talk a bit about the four-part program?
So the whole program is called Leadership as a Way of Life, and it's part of my ongoing deep hunger to support people in stepping into a place of willingness to take life on in every way possible, to live big, to live regardless of what society tells us we are supposed to lead the way and to join forces with many other people who are doing this so that we can make this world work, because right now it isn't working. So we started out with, you know, the internal orientation of embracing leadership within ourselves, and this is in relationships. The next course is about leadership within your workplace, and the final one is about becoming a change agent everywhere you go. It's kind of like using every moment as an opportunity to create micro transformation or a big transformation. So it's part of a whole that for me is very exciting and hopeful.
So, Mickey, I would suggest that you go ahead and start calling on people who dialed one on their keypad if you would like to still take the time to answer a few more questions.
Happy to. Did you have a question?
I do. At the very end of working with RT, I thought, oh, so it's about empathy. And then you said, it's not about empathy. It's about meeting my needs as well as the other person's needs because they're not able to articulate or not able to take care of them at the time. I'm just feeling confused, Mickey.
I think that, yeah, the way that you're saying it sounds a little different from how I meant it. It's not like I mean don't be empathic. It's that it's a subtle difference between empathy as a spoken practice and the commitment to make it work for both of us.
I like that. I get the distinction. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's see.
I was really excited to hear you say, in response to the question that Mary asked you, that you would want to remove yourself in the case of a quote-unquote abusive relationship. And I'm wondering, based on what you did today, I have the idea that this process takes a long time. It's an investment. Are we likely to decide, well, this relationship, a particular, non-abusive, but another relationship, it isn't worth the amount of time I'm going to have to spend? I mean, is that something that's going to come up a lot?
Here is what it is for me. I am not necessarily going to choose to be in a relationship with every human being on the planet. I want to make sure that when I make choice whether or not to continue in a relationship, that I'm not doing it based on judgment, that I'm doing it based on my best understanding of my own needs and the other person's needs my own limits and the other person's limits, put it all in whatever equation I have, does it add up, while holding love and care and the dignity of both people. When I hear you say it isn't worth it, that sounds to me like writing off someone, which is not the attitude that I want to have. Okay, let's see.
Hi, Nikki. I just began to be very interested in what RT wanted in the discussion with her son, whether it was something about him just knowing that she's upset about the bill for the damage, or if it was something she wanted as a way of connecting with him to build a relationship, and then whether or not that matters in the long run. I'm not sure if it's a relevant question, but it was one that I became aware of.
I
didn't know what you wanted.
I don't know. We haven't gotten that far. There's some way that we forget that no matter what we want, we need to establish a togetherness. We do so much conversation that is not based on togetherness. And then it becomes essentially a form of arm wrestling.
So that is really the basic dynamic that is important. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's see.
So I've been working on my relationship with my mother during this call, and she called me in the middle about something, and it just clicked in what you said about taking responsibility for meeting my needs and hers in the relationship, that it's not about empathy. And I feel so empowered, right, I don't need to pretend that I don't know what she's concerned about. In fact, that's when I'm in this victim place. It's actually when I say, yeah, I know you're worried about this, and how about we do this about it? It's so powerful. So I'm excited. I'm going to call her back as soon as the call finishes. So thank you, dear Mickey.
With just one tweak, I hope I didn't say that it's about meeting both needs. It's about attending to both needs. Mm-hmm. I don't know that the needs can actually be met. Okay. I think you will be the last person because we're running out of the official time.
So I just wanted to ask you, is the whole course structured very similarly as we experience today? So it's more like a practice, or there are some parts where you are talking about things, or let's say you are more giving a lecture?
Thank you for asking. Basically, there is different parts. There is some small group work on the phone. There is, covering some material. It is always interactive. That is my style of teaching. But you may have noticed that during the exchange with Arati, I was explaining concepts along the way. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did. And actually, sometimes when you did the practice, some certain things became very, very clear just through the practice.
Yeah. I combine practice and explanation in an integrated way.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
So I think that's it. Mary, it's back to you.
Thank you, Mickey. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call today.